My wife already prefaced, don't yell the fucking opening of the show, and I'm just going to have to yell the opening
Please
of the show.
Please yell it. Yell it. Really, I love you, but yell it, Kai.
All right, here we go.
Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film Podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. No, this place where people like films get together and deal with that ish. I am your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, the crazy... I've used every adjective on you. Let's just call you Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, that's weird, but I like it.
All right, let's spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
So, Heather, here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
It has been a dumpster fire of a week. So what I'd like you to do is just sum up this last week in about 20 seconds, and then we'll move on to the show.
Okay. Lots of coffee, which equals lots of pooping, which equals happiness. But also, you know, there's orange people followers who are dressed up like characters from The Simpsons storming our Freedom Palace and taking more poops all over it because apparently they've had too much coffee with the Kool-Aid inside it. And we're all doomed, and we just need 3PO to keep saying that over and over and over again.
That was actually really good. Sorry, go ahead.
And also, I have a beautiful gray cat that I get to pet all the time that keeps me pleasant.
Oh, cat's the devil. I love that it's a magical palace. I also think poop might be a theme that pops up today, but it's a theme in my life, I know. So let's move on with the show then.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
All right, Heather, so I'll tell you what. So... I'm aware of our guest. I'm aware of his new role, his large new role, but I've actually never met him. We just met before the show. This is our first time, although we've been aware of each other for some time. You know him much better from frequenting the Lambcast. Why don't you introduce our guest this week?
Okay. So, as some of you may notice, I often go on the Lambcast, and over the last few years, Jay, who has retired as host, has had a fantabulous co-host named Richard Kirkham, who is here as our guest on the MILFcast for the first time today, and I'm quite fond of him, so enjoy him.
Say hello, Richard.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be here. Yes, Heather's always a delight to have on the MILFcast, always one of my favorites, although don't tell everybody else on the Lambcast that, because they'll get jealous.
It's okay if you say that she's always great to have on the MILFcast. The people on the Lambcast won't get high, like upset with that. So tell me, so for those of you that don't know, I'll go over this again. So the Large Association of Movie Blogs is a website that has thousands of members at this point. It was started by the original Shepherd, our good friend and co-host or something like that, Dylan Fields. Dylan walked away at one point and began working with me with the MILF, the old MILF website, and then just walked away. Just gave it all up. Just walked in the sunset.
Quitter.
The fucking master.
Quitter.
So, then it was taken over by Jay, who's done a wonderful job. He was obviously a smart person to run it because he had me draw the logo. But my question is, so Jay has moved on from hosting the Lambcast, which is the offshoot of the Lamb website. Have you taken over everything or strictly the Lambcast?
I'm strictly the Lambcast. All that technical stuff that they have to do on the Lamb website, I would be way over my head in trying to accomplish that. Jay is still editing and putting up other posts and running the other podcasts, you know, kind of organizing them. I'm merely responsible for the one podcast every week. Thank God.
Quite a large podcast.
So Jay has maintained shepherd status, is that correct?
Yes, he's the main shepherd. I'm a secondary shepherd. I guess that's the way my title would be.
You're an assistant shepherd.
Yes.
You're Robin to the Batman shepherd.
I guess so. I prefer to think of myself as the Little John to the Robin Hood shepherd, but that's okay.
I'd prefer to think of you in those tiny little green shorts. So my question is, why would anyone want that job? That sounds like a goddamn nightmare to schedule and coordinate all those people on a weekly basis for a very prolific show.
It is a nightmare to do that. I actually only started scheduling people when Jay stepped down. I was mostly just co-hosting the shows and hosting whenever Jay was not around, and that was great. And he asked me to take over. I said, sure. And then I realized I had to do the scheduling, too. And that is a little... overwhelming, but it's okay. I have the advantage over a lot of people. I'm retired, so I've got plenty of time to devote to doing those kinds of things.
You also live in Texas, which the big nightmare with podcasting, particularly for Jay, is Jay's across the pond, and the majority of the people, I think, are here in the States. Is that fair to say?
I think that that's true, although we do have a fair share of people from other places in the world. We've got Australia and Israel and Estonia, and, you know, coordinating the times is a little bit crazy. I've got a podcast coming up, and I know that the folks in Ireland are going to be recording at 5 o'clock in the evening when it's basically 11 o'clock in the morning here.
See, but that's not bad. I feel like Jay's California to – I'm in California, so California to him. At least you're a little bit further, like, towards the middle, so you could work with the West Coast, the East Coast, and those guys over there. Whereas I'm pretty sure Jay had to get up at 3 in the morning to do something with us once.
I know he was doing that for the Academy Awards shows that we did, because he would call us after the show was over. You know, and the show finishes on the West Coast at 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night, and it would be exactly like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning where he was, and he wanted to do that. But I think he only did that 2 years.
Jay's an insane individual. All right. Well, Richard, it's great to have you here. You listen to the show. Those of you that listen regularly know what we do. But for those of you that don't, we're going to talk about what we've been – oh, wait. No, wait. That's not how we do it. What do we do? We're going to do the Series 7. I'm still getting back on the flow of this segue shit.
We're going to do the Series 7. We're going to do it all backwards today.
Let's talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen?
All right, Richard, you're our guest. Is there something you've seen recently that you would like feel compelled to speak about?
Well, there's a ton of stuff that I've seen lately, but the thing that probably most people would be interested in talking about is A History of Swear Words with Nicolas Cage.
What an utter letdown it was.
It's a little weird because it's some of it is fun and interesting, but it's not quite as interesting as it should be, and they go off on some tangents. I think part of the problem is that it was done by the Funny or Die folks, and we got a lot more comedians, and I'm afraid I could use more Nick Cage and more of the academics.
Yeah, the academics were surprisingly entertaining, especially the girl that had, like, the large denim dress on that giggled a little every time she said a bad word, yet knew everything about them. I didn't know I was getting a VH1 show, like a pop-up quiz show,
that's
like where they just chime in, and I like a lot of those comedians.
Yeah, they're funny and they're entertaining. I think when I looked it up a couple of days ago, it is supposed to be kind of a unscripted show. So it's mostly just they cut to those folks and hear them say something, and then they cut it together later on. The academics, of course, I know that they were prompted as to what the questions and issues were going to be. Everybody else, they're comedians, and so they've got to improvise.
Yeah, have you watched it yet, Heather?
No, actually, I was going to mention it, though, because last night I turned on Netflix for the first time in a bit, and I'm like, oh, ooh, Nick Cage is here. What the frig is he doing?
Well, first of all, he's gotten Just for Men, that's for sure. That I definitely know. He's got a very Scott Nolan perfect beard. That's an inside joke for everyone. He's fantastic, but you only get little doses of him. He's there basically to do a little monologue in between everything else that happens.
Honestly, I didn't turn it on because the little tidbits that they give you that they call their trailer, but it's not really a trailer. After he spoke, I was kind of like, nah, that doesn't seem like it's going to be that great. And I like cursing quite a bit.
Well, each episode is only 20 minutes, so even if it's not that great, it'll be over with quickly.
That's true. I think after listening to you guys talk, though, that I'll probably pop it on.
Do you recommend it, Richard?
I give it a slight recommendation. Like I said, I'm always looking for something that's going to fill 15 or 20 minutes worth of time and not require me to devote an hour or 18 hours of my time to catch up on.
Fair enough. Okay, so we'll give it a meh.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I just realized it's been bugging me since the start of the show. I was trying to figure out who Richard sounds like, and I just realized he has the exact same voice as a coworker of mine, and now I'm going to trip on that for the rest of the episode. Okay. So, anyway, let me jump in. Since we're in Netflix land, I am one of those people that will judge a show or movie based on its title, because you kind of have to, because there's so much just, like, B-movie, straight-to-DVD shit that's on there. And Netflix, to their credit, has been really great about bringing in foreign stuff recently. And I'll be honest, I am a dubbed guy. I will listen to the dubbed version because a lot of times in my free time, I am drawing. So I want to listen. I don't have time to read. I know that's not the best way to experience it, but so be it. So my daughter had recommended an Asian show on there that I checked out and I wasn't into after a couple episodes. But then I saw a trailer for one that popped up on there called Alice in Borderland.
Oh.
And the trailer intrigued me. So I started watching it and it was not available dubbed. I had to actually stop and read. And I kept watching and I finished it and I am blown away and I want to recommend it to everyone. It is essentially some guys that are kind of deadbeats, each in their own way. They kind of they do something and have to run from the cops. They run into a bathroom. When they come out, everyone is gone. There's no one on earth, just the three of these guys. And they see like a light shining on a building, so they go to a building and they walk through this like almost infrared light that turns blue, and they're trapped in, and there's a phone and it says them they have to play a game. And other people come too. So obviously they're not the only ones in the world that have gone, but pretty much everyone is gone except for, you know, a percentage of the people. They get stuck in these things. They basically have visas to this place and they don't know what this place is, and they have to compete in these life or death games. And if they survive, their visa gets extended. If they don't, or if they try to run, or if their visa expires, this beam comes down from the sky and blows a hole right through their chin. Through their head and out their chin. So you have to play, right? And then everyone is set up. It reminded me a little bit of like Hunger Games, a little bit of like Saw.
Yeah,
all these like,
that sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. And there's obviously Alice in Wonderland comparisons. There's a character named Hatter. Every time you win a game, you get a playing card. So, and I guess each type of suit of card represents the type of game you're going to play. So if it's I forget what it is, but if it's hearts, you might be teaming up with your team. If it's clubs, you might be only one person's going to survive. You have to fight against each other. But you never know until you get into the game. So that's the basic premise, and I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but I will say I found out, I read up on it when I was done. It's based on a manga. There is a second season already greenlit, and it's going to be on Netflix. They're hoping this year, but you guys should definitely check it out. I really loved it.
But it's not animated. It's live action?
It's live action.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's great. And everybody in it was great, too. So I highly recommend it. What about you, Heather? What have you seen?
Well, I'm going to go right on to what you said, pretty much. And I have, unfortunately, been doing the opposite. Even though I've been insanely busy, I have decided to watch nothing but anime for, like, the last 3 months. And I can't stand the dub, so I have been perilously going through everything with subtitles. Which means I literally, sometimes if a show is like, say I just finished Attack on Titan, shows are about 23 minutes long, it takes me an hour to watch them because I have to continually pause so I don't miss things.
Yeah.
Or come back.
I do that with Clone Wars. I'm fighting to get through Clone Wars. There's like 50 episodes per season, even though they're 20 minutes each.
Yes. I need to go back through it so I can catch all the stuff that I missed before too. For that same reason. So I did, as I explained to you guys, it was actually last evening, I was like, well, I don't feel, I'm on Hunter x Hunter right now, and I just didn't feel like going with the subs. I just wanted to start a puzzle and relax. So I start looking, I'm like, ooh, swearing. This will be fun.
Do you know how I know you're old?
How?
Because I just want to start a puzzle and relax.
Because you're starting a puzzle and relax.
I want to start a puzzle, eat my tea, watch my anime, and get in bed by 7:30.
That's exactly what I want to do. Except my tea. That's fucking it. So so I rolled right over that, and I saw, ooh, Narcos. You know what? I've been wanting to watch this for quite a while, and the show's concluded, and I know it got pretty decent reviews, and the people that watched it were great. And plus, I'm totally into any kind of drug cartel movies or shows. I'm just all over that shit. So I put it on, and I'm like 5 minutes in, but I put it on with the intent of watching something entertaining, certainly, but I was also thinking, no subtitles, yay. Of course, it's all in Spanish. So all subtitles. I love it, though. It's wonderful. I think I'm only 5 or 6 episodes into it, and the acting is just phenomenal.
Is Din Djarin in it?
He certainly is, which I had forgotten about as well.
Is he in both seasons or just the first one?
He's in the whole series. I went and looked it up. Yeah, I think he's the only actor that actually makes it to all 30 episodes, but I believe that's the total. But
that's the ultimate spoiler when IMDb lists the amount of episodes that they were in.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And I kind of like it, though, sometimes, too, and I'm like, oh, when are they going to die or get kicked off? I just don't know how they're going to leave, which brings me to the next thing. He's the only main character that's on it for the whole time. So the story is essentially based on Columbia and I met Ian, and what's his face, his whole entire, he almost became president of freaking Colombia before they were like, oh, we should probably stop this drug lord from taking over.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, really strange, right? A little too little, too late, too much bloodshed, etc. But it's really great. So I'm curious where the story goes after he's killed, because I think they're in 1989 right now, and he dies in 93. So
how many episodes did you get through?
Let me see. It's still on my TV paused right now. I just started episode 6. It's excellent.
Okay, cool.
But so, I'm totally like, I'm in it. I'm absorbed in it. It's great so far. If you like this kind of thing, and they're following the real story, they're using as much factual based evidence as they can, and then pouring the drama in accordingly. But it's so good.
Okay, well, I'll check that out. Well, there you go, you guys. During a pandemic, there's 3 Netflix recommendations for you. And who would have thought that it would have been Alice in Borderland and Narcos over Nicolas Cage in The History of Swearing? That's just a sad, sad side. But
that's
anyway,
too bad.
Yeah. This brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to do the Series 7. Steve Bush, sing away.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, Richard, so you listen, you know what this is about. Basically, we just have 7 questions that are meant to, bolster talk, because on a podcast, quiet is stupid, and we already do enough of that during the game. So you can interpret these questions however you want. You can take them serious, you can be silly. We like to make people laugh when we can, but at the end of the day, just fucking talk. All right, so question number 1, give us your 2021 apocalypse predictions or general outlook.
Well, the outlook has to be better, I think. Although, I know things can always go south. I'm a karma guy, so I figured there's got to be some balance sooner or later. Things have to get a little bit better, but some things are going to be really grim. And I'm afraid I've been hitting this note repeatedly with a variety of people. I think the theater business is going to retrench. We're going to have half the number of theaters that we had before. I think sports programming is going to continue to lose viewers, despite the fact that it'll probably come back because people have found that there are other things to do. And if you want a sure sign of the apocalypse, Michigan might beat Ohio State, UCLA could win the Pac-12, Vanderbilt takes over the SEC. If those things happen, we have bad things to look forward to.
Yeah, I know. What are you thinking, Heather?
I mean, honestly, just turn on the TV right now. I think we're living it.
I think the general outlook was everybody thought we're going to get vaccinated in the first part of this year, which is truly an accomplishment because these things usually take 9-10 years to really master, and we're already issuing vaccinations. But I think everyone thought by the end of summer we'd be going back to real life.
I think people thought before summer started that they were going to go back to normal life. I think that's part of the problem. And that's why I think the apocalypse is continuing now, not because of COVID so much, but because of what COVID has exposed in all of us. It's this glaringly obvious point of view that most of us are so self-absorbed that we have no idea what's going on outside of our own little boxes. And if anything, ignorance is the absolute opportune time for anything in power to make changes with the people that, they wouldn't normally get away with. Look at what's been going on lately on TV. That's out of a freaking movie. Look at technology, all these technological advances that are happening that nobody's paying attention to right now because of all these other distractions. I think I sent you the video of those Boston robots. They look exactly like the killer dog robots in Black Mirror. It's effing terrifying. I'm like, stop laughing and thinking that's cute. That dog's dancing. Yes, it's amazing. Absolutely astounding. But
it's
are we,
each
are
other
we...
dancing on your skulls.
Yes, yes. But look at social media right now and the way it's manipulated and controls our points of view and what we think is actually happening in the world. I mean, all of these things, Skynet, all these things movies and fiction have told us about for a long time are existing. We're in that timeline. We need to do something.
In some form or other.
Yeah. So sorry I got serial, but...
here's the thing. Like, the thing that terrifies me is, like, so we've made this wonderful accomplishment, and then you hear about this new strain that's come out of the UK, and it's whereas a normal strain will infect 1 out of how many, this will do 4 or 5, right? And so, and whatever, it's highly transmissible, much more transmissible, but it's not they think the vaccine is going to take care of it. Okay. Then you get this new one in South Africa that essentially is a similar thing, highly more, you know, contagious and all that stuff. My concern is not – now, first of all, this is not fucking changing. And to echo Richard's sentiments a little bit, I do think that we're all going to come out of this with a new – I think we're all going to wash our hands a lot more. I think we're going to take – you know, I was always one of those guys, like, I'll touch the pump. I mean, I won't touch the pump and, like, rub it on my body or anything. But, like, I'll touch the pump because I always thought a certain amount of germs is good for you because it gets your body working against them. But now, man, I'm washing after everything. I'm disinfecting. I may even wear a mask when it's not cool. But I just don't see I see this – we're going to be doing this all year. Even if they speed up the rate we're doing this when Biden comes in, we're still going to be wearing masks and have limiting attendance and shit at the end of this year.
We have to stop looking back and going, oh, well, everything's going to get back to the way it was. It's never going to be the same again, and it shouldn't be.
Well, and like I said, to echo a little bit of what Richard was saying, we've learned so much new shit. I mean – these doctor video appointments they're having are so fucking convenient. Working from home, I'm so much more.
There are a whole bunch of businesses that are going to go under because they're based on real estate, and all the people who are working from home, you know, that's a company that says, apparently I don't need to pay for real estate. I've got people who are willing to work from home, and, you know, why would I spend money putting together an office?
As someone who's worked from home for the last 9 years, too, there's been like a 15% increase in the amount of remote workers just in the last 3 or 4 years prior to COVID. So
what that number does.
Yeah. So, you know, basically as far as like software companies like Slack and that kind of thing go, they're sitting there, you know, reaping the benefits of this because they've been prepared for it, too. It's just going to be a shift and change in dynamics as far as jobs and those
things. The thing is, people don't like change, though. So forcing this change is we're going to have a unique new world when we step on the other side. Even, you guys, what Warner Brothers just did with releasing all their shit on the HBO Max for the entire year ahead of time is monumental. I think we're going to see a different structure even with to bring it back to film, even with how we watch movies when this is all done. But essentially, like, and to Heather's point, yes, at the beginning of COVID, you really saw how many assholes are in the world because they said, wear a mask for your fellow human and people wouldn't do it. So the people that didn't wear masks don't care about anyone but themselves. Yes, we've gotten to see how racist and lame this country
is. The assholes were easier to identify earlier. They're the ones who had all the toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, assholes need toilet paper. But anyway, so my bleakest outlook is that we get this thing – to get back to the question, sorry. We get this thing almost under control and then it mutates. And the vaccine doesn't work on that one, and we go back to square one. That is my terrifying fear for 2021.
Or there'll be a different issue. I mean, people have been predicting these kinds of hot zone outbreaks for 30 years, and, you know, why would it just have one? There'll be something else.
That's it. This is not the one they're scared of. Like, there's another one out there that's going to come that is worse than this, and hopefully they can contain it. You know what I mean? So, God damn, that was a brutal question.
Thanks
so much. Oh,
this will be Jesus. Brutal fun.
I did say that, didn't I? Something along those lines.
Now that we're all bummed out, what is the strangest movie monster, Richard?
Tobanga.
Tobanga? Topanga?
Tobanga. Do you know Tobanga?
I'm going to as soon as I... I'm not Bing searching this. Why am I on Bing? Google, Microsoft, get
over. If you're on Bing, then you should search for Google because that is my search thing from Bing. It's Google. Yeah. Seriously.
Okay, so Bonga. Googling. Now I got to go to images. Well, I see there's a Tobanga language. What is Tobanga? Tell me more, Richard.
The killer tree.
The Tobanga the tree monster. Is this a real thing or is this from a movie or what is this?
It's from a movie. From Hell It Came. A movie that I saw, I think, I must have seen it in 1970. I was staying with a friend of mine, you know, hanging out late night, probably a Saturday night, and it was on one of those creature feature things. And, you know, I was 12 at the time. And so it was kind of creepy. I think I saw it this last year, and I thought, this is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen.
is it the tree that looks like it's got a face, or is it this giant, like, totem pole looking thing? Because I'm getting both.
It's the tree that looks like it's got a face. It's sort of like if you imagine the trees from The Wizard of Oz, but they
That's
walk
exactly what I'm picturing.
And they don't talk, you know?
So they're just making faces at you.
Yeah, and I think it's there is a whole series of similar kinds of creatures in Philippine horror films, but this is one that was, like I said, I saw on a late night thing years ago, and then I saw it again this last year, and I went, boy, is this stupid.
Oh, the best part about this is we just got our image for the episode to post, so I like that a lot.
Take care of that early.
He is a trippy looking guy. That's so funny. Heather, what would be yours?
Oh, this one's all Mike's fault, too. And surprisingly, I had never seen this movie until we dated, and he's not into horror movies or odd and strange horror movies either. But it is by far and easily, hands down for me, The Basket Case, Deformed Brother.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Show some respect.
Yes. Sorry, motherfucker. So
you got 4 out of 5 letters. I'll give you credit.
But that's kind of what it looks like, and he's just literally in a basket. But it's this horrible face, and then the screaming. It's just, it's so bad. But the movie is hilarious. I'll never want to watch it again, but it's hilarious, and I couldn't believe it existed.
I almost picked that one too because it's a similar reason. But like, I watched it. I accidentally watched the movie when I was way too young. So it was just all the more stranger to me because I hadn't really seen anything like that type of movie or that type of creature before. So he was just really weird, and the premise behind what he is makes him even weirder. So that's crazy. Mine's actually very similar to Richard's. So mine is The Blair Witch, and it's not based on the movie because you don't ever see The Blair Witch in the movie. I tripped out after the movie came out when Todd McFarlane put out a Blair Witch monster creature. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but it's basically
like a tree.
It's a tree witch woman, essentially, yeah. But I'm like, where did he get the concept to create this? And is that fair? Is it fair that Todd McFarlane can justify or form in our mind what that thing that scared us that we never saw is? Do you guys think that's fair?
No.
No.
Well, no.
It's like music videos. It puts it in your head, and then that's all you're going to see from then on when you hear that song.
And the whole point of Blair Witch is to conceive your own notion of what it looks like. The not knowing is what makes it so terrifying.
Yes, but there's money on the table, and somebody's got to make it.
I have to look into this more, too, because I want to know if he just interpreted it or if it was something that they gave direction on or had planned, had some idea of what they thought it would look like. But it's a weird-looking thing. You guys should check it out. Let's go to question number 3, though, because we're moving the show along. Hey, Richard, you should be great at this. Are you good at acronyms? We here at the MILFcast are.
I can make up some.
Okay, cool. Why don't you come up with something better that LAMB could be an acronym for?
I've got 4 or 5 that I came up with. WASP.
I want all of them.
Two or three are probably, they could work right now and not be a problem. The Lost Art of Movie Bullshitting.
Okay.
Lame-ass movie blogs.
Yeah, I thought of that one, too.
Here's one that I think would work for a particular kind of show on the LAMBcast. Lots of action, more boobs.
That's how along the lines I went.
And then, of course, there's the one that's a completely different kind of website, Lonely Adults Meeting Blind. Also, Lonely Adults Making Babies, which you probably don't want to see. And Least Attractive Men Bitching.
Least Attractive Men Bitching. Which in turn makes them least less attractive.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. If the site ever goes under, you guys should sell it off to like a niche group. So like I personally love a meaty booty. That's where I would kick that. But I also liked there's a group of people that come together that hate on these things, and it should be Lose All Man Buns.
I got that one. I like that.
No, not a fan at all.
No.
Heather, what'd you come up with?
Mine was pretty predictable. I went with large ass mega booties.
Oh, so, God, you're like my second person.
I know.
You're my little tumor crag.
I'm totally a tumor crag. You're deformed twin sisters.
Okay. Quickly, tonight. We go on to – this is for just Heather and I, so you guys don't have to pay attention for one sec. Heather, tonight we go to trivia, and we tell everyone that your new nickname is Tumor Crag because apparently Dylan's been nicknamed Hotkeys, and they won't tell me why, so I want to mess with them.
Okay, so I'm Tumor Crag?
You're going to be my – your new nickname's Tumor Crag, and we don't have to tell them anything. If they don't listen to the show, then F them. They never get to know.
Okay.
Or I'll just cut this, but I'm too lazy, so I probably won't. All right, so let's go on. to question number four. Name the best music montage. This one was very hard, and I'm going to go first because mine's fairly uninteresting. The default for me is typically Rocky because I get jammed whenever he's training and they play that music. But I actually went for best. I actually went Karate Kid at the All Valley Tournament because I love the way they progress through the entire tournament in like a song. They do a really good job of doing it and doing the punches and kicks for points right at the crescendo of each line when the drum hits. It's just really well done. So that's what I went with.
Excellent.
What would you go with, Richard?
I got categories. So okay. You know,
I like it.
You mentioned Rocky. The most stirring one is Rocky, definitely. My favorite one is the Watchmen opening credit. The times they are changing.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
I just love the way it looks, the way it kind of sets up the background of the story. And I know a lot of people are down on Zack Snyder, but if you want to see a reason why that guy has been successful, that's that opening there. The one that's the most meta and the most fun, of course, is the Team America. We need a montage. Yeah. And the best one, if you got to go with perfection in a movie, The Godfather.
Ah, yes, that was one.
The baptism scene.
It's so good.
Oh man, it's incredible. All the murders going on while Michael is standing godfather to his sister's child. Oh, the father is being murdered at the same time. My God.
That's a good one. You made a wonderful sound there after you relived the Michael thing, like, ooh, that sounded like you had come to fruition. I may have to go back and isolate that and tag it on the end of the show. All right, Heather.
I have a couple, too. I have one that I picked, but I had, the sports training one, obviously Rocky is solid and Karate Kid as well, but mine is actually the Bloodsport training one.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, I can watch that over and over again. I'll never get tired of watching that. Jean-Claude's so great. It's such a fun movie, too.
You're on a JCVD kick. You were telling everybody to follow his Instagram yesterday.
Everyone needs to. Okay, stop. Everyone needs to follow Jean-Claude Van Damme's Instagram. It is the weirdest shit, but it's awesome. He'll sit there. He was the other day. He was just playing Barry White, and he was dancing on his phone.
Live. He dances weird.
And it's just, I love this music, guys. Oh, yeah. It's so
Does he
good.
Still dance weird?
Yes, he dances exactly the same. It's so weird.
He's like the Elaine of karate fighters.
He is, but he's at least not.
Is he dancing with his phone in his hand, showing himself? Okay.
Bird's eye, so you can see the whole body.
You can see everything, and then sometimes he just starts talking about nothing. I mean, you've seen some of the weird Van Damme quotes over the years. Well, they haven't stopped. He does it every day. It's great. If it pops up on my phone, Jean-Claude Van Damme live on Instagram, I'm like, yeah, I'm going for the train wreck because it's a happy train wreck.
Everyone has seen the greatest video on YouTube, right? Which is the Bloodsport when he's running from Forrest Whitaker and the other guy, and they put it to the Mentos music.
I haven't seen that, but I'm looking forward to it. Oh my God.
As soon as this is over, you Google JCVD Mentos.
Yes.
Okay.
Me later.
So back to the podcast. So Bloodsport, I think, is probably the best sports montage, my favorite. I think the most wonderful and sentimental is the Married Life one from Up. I mean, if you want me to bawl my eyes out, I don't do that very often. I can't watch it because I'll just sit there and be hysterical in tears. It's beautiful. And I have to mention the Flashdance Maniac scene because I used to do that montage when I was a little girl.
I'll be honest, Footloose was really close on my
There
list.
You go.
Footloose is a good one.
Chris Penn bouncing up and down.
The number one best, if you want to sum up the 80s in one montage, just turn on Top Gun and go to that volleyball scene. And it wasn't even supposed to be in the movie. But it's a volleyball scene. It's just so ridiculously bad and hilarious and wonderful all at the same time. It's glory.
Can I tell you, too? So I played volleyball all through my youth. I played year-round. I played high school varsity. I was really good at it. I played Junior Olympics. I played club ball. I played beach. I will still not go to a picnic and play volleyball for fun because people don't know how to actually play volleyball. So when I watch two actors playing Marines in jeans playing volleyball, I cringe so extra hard, especially if you think Tom Cruise is neck high on an 8-foot net hitting the ball straight down. I guarantee you, Tom Cruise couldn't hit a ball over a beach net if he tried.
You got to do a lot of jumping to be able to do that.
You got to have a 60-inch vert at his height. I'm sorry. This is not happening.
They cut it out, but there was a trampoline underneath him every single time.
Oh, no. He's just standing on a box. It's hilarious. Yet, at the same time, I'm totally fine with side out when C. Thomas Howell does it for some reason. I have no idea why. All right. So let's go to question number 5. And I'm going to preface this one that this is a Heather question. So Heather's very nice about, like, you want me to send you some serious 7 questions? Yeah. And she'll just, like, lay them out there like vomit soup, and they're usually pretty good. And I'll alter them a little bit here and there. But then she always throws in a humdinger, and just to spite her, sometimes I go ahead and put it in the show. So
yeah. You want to know what's funny, Kai? This one in particular, too. I told Mike after I sent it to you, I said, yeah, so I sent Kai a poop joke in the Series 7. We'll see if he likes it. And then you put it in the show. I still win.
Yeah. So I'll start with you, Heather. The question is, how regular are your poops?
Okay, I'm pretty regular for the first time in my life. It is so wonderful. Drink 1 cup of coffee a day and eat chocolate every day. I poop. It's great.
That doesn't answer the question. That's just like a description of how much you enjoy the experience of what makes it happen. The question is, how regular are you?
I'm pretty regular. I go almost every day now, which is amazing. Oh, I used to go 2 weeks. I used to go like 2 weeks at a time.
This is something like, okay, so we...
Then it would be a nightmare when it happened.
Like, we would always talk about this. Heather would always joke about, and I'm not sure she was joking, using the restroom during the show.
Yes. I've heard that.
Yeah. At some point, Heather told me she goes weeks without pooping, to which I responded, go to an ER right now because that's not good. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to... Is it once a day, twice a day, Heather?
Yeah, once a day, twice a day. Which, by the way, too, I did not realize it wasn't normal that I went like 2 weeks without pooping until I was like 30 years old. So I just thought I was really uptight.
You were. Jesus Christ. Back up there. Richard, welcome to the show. sorry, but how regular are you poops, man?
Okay. Let me tell you first, I'm gonna throw in a curve here because talking about poop is not strange to me at all. I have 3 dogs, and that is a focus of conversation on a daily basis. So, Peyton, my golden retriever, he's a once-a-day in-the-morning dog. Wyatt, who's my terrier, he's twice in the morning. Sadie, who is my ancient little blind dachshund, she goes once in the morning, once in the evening. And me, hey, I'm a once-a-day person, usually in the morning.
Nice.
This is turned into how regular your dog's poops, your pet's poops. This is so great. Since we're doing dogs, here's what I'll tell you. So I've got 3, right? Ripley was the first one, and she was great. We opened the door, she went outside, she went. Ever since then, we didn't have to do anything. We just opened the door, and she'll go out and go, and she never goes in the house. Then we got Newt. Newt is pretty good, too. We got him. We thought we had to train, but he just followed Ripley out there, did his thing, came back in. And occasionally we'll mark something in the house, but we started putting a belly band on him. It's not an issue anymore, and he's good about just going outside. Then I got Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord. He is my butterball. That's the dog that loves me. That dog I cannot potty train to save my life. So we actually have a pad and shit and a room in the other side of our kitchen, tile room. Luckily, it's tile, not carpet. And we have a pad down, and she misses it. And the weird thing is Quill has to do everything in circles. So it's, yeah. I don't know if it's the tail walking the dog or the dog walking the tail, but she, you know, she's pooping when she just starts walking in circles trying to look at her butt. And then she drops these little Hershey kisses in a circle that looks like it, when she's done, it looks like where you would, you know, sacrifice the virgin to the gods in the middle of it. If you only have to do is add like a pentagram and candles and you're done. And it smells horrible. So yeah, that's something we deal with. As for me, I have Crohn's, so I am a regular. Let's just say I'm very regular. I can go anywhere from 1 to 8 times in a day.
Oh, that's way too regular.
Yeah, it's not fun sometimes. Let's go on to question number 6. So this is hilarious, too. So Heather suggested a question of favorite Bond movies. Richard is a huge fan. So naturally, the question is, please explain why James Bond is, in fact, so highly overrated, Richard.
Well, the first thing I wrote is that the premise of the question is completely wrong. How dare you?
Yay!
However, if you were going to make an argument that James Bond is overrated, that would be because Bond is over-dependent on everything else. You know, M makes most of the assignments, Q provides the tech that solves most of his most difficult issues, low-level Confederates always set the groundwork for him before he gets there, there's usually a sacrificial female on who pays the cost of his bad decisions, so Bond is just there to take credit at the end of the movie. That's the best I could come up with. The truth of the matter is...
He's like Ethan Hunt. It's
yeah. Like, he's got a team.
Ever.
Oh, that's so funny. Personally, I love Bond in theory. So, like, but I cannot sit through the old ones. I'm sorry. I don't find Bond overrated. I'm just always surprised at how fanatical people can be from him. You know what I mean? I think Daniel Craig has been great. I was rewatching Skyfall and Casino Royale the other day. Really love those. To me, Casino Royale is the Batman Begins of Bond films. It just explains everything so well. Then you get into Quantum Solace. They've kind of wasted a little bit of what they had with Daniel Craig because I really enjoyed him as it. But I happen to be a Tim Dalton guy, and I have a hard time sitting back, especially in a post-Austin Powers world, going back and watching the 60s and 70s ones. I can't do it. I still haven't seen them all. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
That's weird.
Well, you need a different sensibility, and of course, I'm an old guy, so I grew up with them all, and they've been cruising in my head for 50-plus years, so it doesn't bother me at all that there's something a little archaic or sexist or... misogynistic in some way. That's just the world that they came from.
Exactly.
I think we'll see that phased out.
I can laugh at those now. That's the thing. I go, wow, I can't believe that was so bad. Did he really just say that to her? Oh my gosh. Sean Connery is pretending to be an Asian man. Okay, that's fine. That's completely fine. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So you can laugh. I feel like there's enough of a buffer of time there to go, okay. It was a different time. We've come much further since then. Let's laugh at it because we've moved on.
Well, and I have a soft spot for Timothy Dalton because those are the ones that came out when I was a kid. So I could see if you're a little older than me and growing up with the series, having an affection for them. Mine really starts with Dalton.
Mine was it's not surprising. Mine was Pierce Brosnan is the one that I first fell in love with. But the Bond movies were always on when I was a kid, and I'd see bits and pieces of them. Sometimes I'd watch a whole one. I'd like it. Sean Connery was Bond growing up for me, though, until there was Pierce Brosnan. But I didn't really start getting into all the old ones and grow an appreciation for them until, like, the early 2000s when Spike TV would have marathons on the weekend and just play them over and over again. And then I just watched all of them all weekend.
Have you seen them all, Heather?
I think at this point I have. There's a few. I haven't seen, I think, the most recent Daniel Craig ones. I don't care for those. I just don't.
Really?
I like them. It's not like I think they're terrible movies. It's just, I don't know. They're fun movies, but they don't feel like Bond to me as much.
They've changed the tone of the films quite a bit as a result of Daniel Craig and trying to modernize it.
I get it, but I know
a lot of people have the same kind of feeling that they think of the Bond movies as being more cartoony and lightweight and fun. And, I think there's a time when that was true, especially, the Roger Moore era, but some of the Pierce Brosnan era. But I think they decided that they after having the Austin Powers thing go on and having Bourne show up, they said, we need to kind of do something to make this different. I do think they've lost a little bit of the humor. They have a little bit of humor. It's actually funnier than you think it is, the Craig ones. But I was surprised. I went back, because that was my complaint for the first few Daniel Craig ones. I said, I hope, I enjoyed the hell out of them. I think Skyfall is fantastic and Casino Royale is terrific. But I was always saying, it would be nice if I smiled once in a while.
Yeah, totally. Who is your what is your series or Bond guy? Who is it for you?
Oh, it's Sean Connery,
Sean Connery.
Goldfinger is my favorite, and From Russia with Love would be my second favorite, and then Skyfall, because I think Skyfall does more to get to the Ian Fleming kind of background and story, and I like that.
And you know what I love about Bond fans too is it's they're all across the board of what movies are their favorite. Like some of them we'll die on our sword talking about one of the worst ones. Like I love The World Is Not Enough. It's horrible. I don't care. I love it. Every time it's on, I'm like, I'm gonna sit down and watch this.
Sadly have to say goodbye to Michael Apted this week.
Who's that?
He's the director of The World Is Not Enough.
I didn't even hear about that.
He passed away yesterday or the day before. He's the guy who did all those, you know, 7 Up, 14 Up, 21 Up, the documentaries.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad we started this with Apocalypse and ended with that. That's really sad.
A cheerful day.
Yeah, totally. Real quick, what is Connery did a Bond film that is not part of canon or was not
Never Say Never Again. Yeah.
Never Say Never Again. I could not remember the name the other day. I was having that debate with someone. Okay, so this brings us to the final question in the Series 7. That's why it's called the Series 7. So we have this thing on the show, Richard. Everyone does a bad celebrity impression. This is normally we would ask to hear yours. However, we are offering a sale during COVID. as an alternative, you can also give us a COVID lockdown confession about something weird you've done or experienced over the last 9 months. I will give you the choice. The floor is yours.
I'm going to give you a BOGO. All right?
Okay.
So, because I don't – I struggled trying to come up with a celebrity impression. I'm not good at voices. I just, for some reason, I can't quite do it. You know, well, there you go. If they were a celebrity, I'd be doing them right now, and that would take care of it. But I do have one that I kind of worked on a little bit, so I thought what I would do is I would tell you my COVID story with that voice.
I love it.
Oh, yay.
All right. So it's, do you need to know who the celebrity is, or do you think you want to guess?
I want to guess.
All right. Kai, help me, Kai, hide me. I had to make the trip all the way to California with 3 dogs. It was impossible. That's the best I could do.
It's Cheech Marin.
It's Peter Lorre, but Cheech Marin would be a good channel, too.
I thought Heather was going to guess Gollum, to be honest.
Oh, my God. I was traveling in the right universe. That's what I was like. I was thinking Grima Wormtongue at first.
Oh, my God. That's so good, Richard. Thank you so much. Always appreciate the BOGO. That is awesome. I like people that call it BOGO, too. You know why? Back to acronyms. All right. So that brings us to the end of the Series 7. It's time to play the game. Let's hear some music about that.
The game, don't blow it, the game.
Okay, Richard, so the game is fairly easy. The game is called The Game. It used to be called 21 because 21 is a perfect score. So basically what happens is I have 3 films for you with 7 clues each, all taken from IMDb. The first clue, if you were to get it, would be worth 7 points. Second clue, 6 points, so on down. 21 is probably not going to happen. We say that if you get 12 or better, you have done very well. Okay?
Okay. I'm gonna shoot for 12.
Okay, that's fine. Shoot low. I do theme these. So, and it was a little difficult with you because we don't know each other a ton, although I hope we get to know each other more now that I've spoken with you because you've been a fantastic guest and you're actually really fun to talk to.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So maybe I will come on the land, man. Now that Jason's gone and somebody interesting is in there. Anyway, so.
Oh, I hope he hears this.
Oh, me too.
Well, he listens. I love you, Jay.
He's in the future. He has to wait for it to catch up. So what I just want to give you that warning up front. I have themed it a bit for you. So here we go. So your first film is a 2016 action thriller. Welcome to the world of generic.
Yeah, so that is pretty generic. Action thriller 2016. Oh, my goodness. MCU films, maybe? No,
sci-fi. No sci. They always take a sci-fi on there.
Oh, yeah. That would be tough. 2016. I'm not going to get it, so go to the next one.
No, we always say
that. Oh, well, we encourage you to say something. Even if it's
okay, lockdown.
Oh, that's a shitty answer. All right, let's go to the next one. For 6 points, Raja Mitchell is in this film.
Oh, you know, I'm not sure I know who that is. I probably know who it is, but don't know them by name.
You do.
She's got a straight, short, blonde bob cut.
Super sparkly eyes.
Baby. I'll tell you a movie she was in a long time ago. She was in a movie. She was in Silent Hill.
Nah, not gonna get it. Wow.
It was.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to go. Let me see, Raja Mitchell. Well, how about Silent Hill 2?
That's not a bad guess, actually. I don't know that I'd give you the first one and cue up the second one, but that's still a good guess. All right, for 5 points, the tagline for this film is, "The world's leaders have assembled, so have their enemies." Shit's about to go down, as Heather would say. Shit's going to get real.
It's going to get really real.
Couches will be violated.
I'm not even trying to text you an answer. I've got
It's not The Kingsman, is it?
It is not.
Okay.
So, this is really not going to help you. For 4 points, Batak Najafi is the director. Unless you know him, I do not.
Oh. Can you say his name again?
I can try. Batak Najafi. B-A-T-A-K-N-A-J-A-F-I.
You know,
well done. I would have destroyed that.
Yeah,
Najafi is really easy to say, though, if you say it really fast. Like, I do like that. I like the vowel consonant ratio.
Batak Najafi. Yeah, okay. How about, well, I'm not going to get it, but I have to say something. Fright Night, the remake.
I like your guesses.
By the way, that one's just called Fright Night.
Yes.
So, Morgan Freeman, for 3 points, is in this film.
Morgan Freeman's in Red. I don't know.
For 2 points, the star of this film is Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman. Olympus Has Fallen.
Ooh,
oh! It's London Has Fallen, isn't it?
That is correct. It's London. I'll give you 2 points for that one. It is London Has Fallen, which, by the way...
How many are there?
Three. So far. There's another one coming, actually. London Has Fallen is actually a really entertaining sequel.
I have enjoyed all of them, because I like Gerard Butler in these action films that are, you know, not... They're not great, but...
But they're fun.
Yeah.
But they're fun. It's better than, like, the space weather one.
Yeah, I haven't seen Geostorm.
It's like Geostorm.
So although, I know, and I should watch them.
I will highly recommend, and believe the internet on this one. Just for entertainment's sake, he just did an end of the world movie called Greenland, which you can find
or buy
on VOD. It's oddly entertaining.
I heard good things about it, actually.
Well, this is depressing because I figured the second one's the one you're never going to get. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, here we are. I got 2 points. There's no chance I'm going to get to 12. I'm going to be hoping to get to 6.
Well, let's see if we can get to 7. All right. So, I don't know. You may know this one. For 7 points, this is a 2009 comedy war film, and that is the strangest tag of genres I've ever seen.
Guess. No, it's too late. But I have a guess. That
comedy war film. 2009?
Yes.
Oh, I would say War Dogs, but I know that was much later than 2009. What, 2009? Yeah, War Dogs is the only thing that's jumping into my head, but I know I'll know it in a minute.
Okay, well, for 6 points, I did a bonus thing here. So I tagged two actors on for you, also in the film, and I'm going to let Heather do a little rant in a second here. But because I knew this was probably a difficult one to remember, I've given you two here, and they're big names. So for 6 points, Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges are in this movie. Heather, tell Richard the one thing you know about the game.
One thing I know about the game is that if you are given an actor who is well-known or an A-list actor at this point in the game, it may mean that they are either – in a ensemble cast, or they just suck.
Yeah, this is...
I was so proud of her. That's the most eloquent... Even though she still was trying to remember the words, she actually eloquently got through that, and then she just said they suck at the end. That's so great.
I think I have this one, actually. The Men Who Stare at Goats.
The Men Who Stare at Goats is correct for 6 points. I am very impressed.
That's a excellent. Great movie. Too.
Excellent. Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but it's excellent that I got it and I got 6 points.
The tagline is "No goats, no glory." Okay, so now we're gonna search things up because I liked my theme and I just wanted to go with it. So this is gonna be unusual. So yeah, we all know a bunch about old movies, and we're all like, you know, there's no movies right now, right? So I think rather than enhancing our knowledge of film during this time, I think we've done a lot of research on what's waiting for us after all this when the movies start to roll out again. So I thought we'd do an upcoming movie.
Ooh.
Okay? So good luck with this. This is a 2021 drama. Not released yet. 2021 drama.
Just drama.
Yes.
Oh, man. Death on the Nile.
That's incorrect. Now, I'm going to give you three names of actors that you may not know, but they all play main characters in this film. So I'm giving you three since it's a future movie. It's not fair. I'm going to do this anyway. So it is Demi Singleton, Sanaa Sidney, and Ingenue Ellis. Ingenue's a beautiful name, by the way.
And she's an ingenue too, huh? My goodness. Yeah, that didn't help at all. Let's see. In the Heights.
No, but that's a good guess. That's actually a really good guess. Okay, so now, this film doesn't have a tagline yet, so I'm actually going to tell you what the film is about. Okay, based on IMDb. The film follows Richard Williams, the father and coach of tennis players Venus and Serena Williams.
Oh, I heard about this the other day, and what's the name of that movie? I'm sorry. I know it's a podcast, so I shouldn't be making noises. I should be giving answers.
She definitely make noises. Silence is not noises.
I vote for voices. Even though you did my part of the show right there, and you did it fantastically. Thank you.
Isn't it like the man something, and I can't remember.
It is not.
Okay, well, then I heard something else, but I couldn't tell you what it is. The mentor.
Okay.
I tried.
So we're gonna push this anyway. So this isn't gonna help you.
Yeah, this isn't gonna work.
John Bernthal's in this film. Do you know who the star is?
I know who John Bernthal is. I don't know who.
No, but do you know who the star of this film is by chance?
Oh.
I'm curious.
It's not Cynthia Enviro, is it?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Okay. So this. The star of this film, for 3 points, is Will Smith.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's what I saw in the story, too. Dang it. I should have been paying more attention.
Like, the poster is just him and the name of the movie, so I thought that might actually help.
Yeah. No, got nothing for you.
Okay.
Got nothing.
For 2 points, I think... Will plays tennis? There is a name in it. And I'm going to say Shakespeare as a hint.
Tennis Iago.
Okay, for 2 points, I'm going to say your name for a hint.
Oh.
I hope it's Shakespeare. I'm going to sound like an asshole. I never read a lot of Shakespeare.
Well, there is a Richard II and a Richard III.
What were they?
They were dicks.
Dicks? Like, well, yeah.
The king of the court.
Okay, so the thing you said after that, and then before all those other words, and then your name.
Oh, court point. King Richard. I don't know.
King Richard for 1 point, bringing you to a grand total of 9. Oh. And of all the things you got right was the men who stare at goats. Okay, so I want you to think about the three films and realize there's no movies about lambs, and see if you can understand the story that I was telling.
Okay, so we've got King of the Court. What's the name of the movie again?
No, this one is King Richard.
King Richard, right,
yes,
okay.
But start from the beginning, your three films, lay them out, and see if you see the theme that I've laid out for you.
Okay, London Has Fallen, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Because there's no lambs.
Richard, King of Sheep, yeah. Jeez.
I don't know what you did, Kyle.
Really? Okay. Where's Jason from?
Okay, that, yeah.
Bornham?
Okay. The King Has Fallen on the show about the guys that talk about lambs, and now we have King Richard. That's what I was going for. Sorry, I blew it.
That was just really clever.
It was so much more clever than I'm capable of getting. Damn.
That was good. That was big brain, Kai.
The king is dead. Long live the king. There you go.
We may have just woken everyone listening up. That was so fantastic. All right. So, anyway, I tried, you guys. Anyway, that brings us to the show. Richard, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You've actually been a delightful guest. I would love to have you back on, actually, but you're not taking over. My fucking show.
Okay. Yeah, that's the danger, you know. Whenever I'm a guest on the show, I think, oh, what can I do with this show once they're out of the way?
Yeah, just as you're tweaking the end of your mustache.
Absorbently.
Please tell everyone where they can find you online, anything you want to plug, and do that now, please.
All right. Well, you can find me online at Kirkham A Movie A Day, or that's my blog. I've got two versions of it. I've got one on WordPress and one on Blogger. It's basically the same content there. I also am the primary author, the only author of the Strother Martin Film Project, so go there, and I only update that every few months, so there'll be something new sooner or later. And, of course, every week on the Lambcast, you can listen to me and my guests talk about movies. You can find me on Twitter at RichardK007.
Oh, it's right there in the title, goddammit. 007.
Right there.
Thank you again, Richard. That's awesome. I will make sure to put all that in the show notes so everybody can find it. And then if you send it to me, because I believe I requested it over a week ago, goddammit.
I did send it this morning.
Okay, cool. I got it then. And I'll follow you as soon as the show's over.
Excellent.
Heather, anything you want to chat about?
I could chat about so much, but what I'm going to chat about is, well, right now you can go check out my site at headertime.com. I haven't posted anything since like November though, because I'm busy writing a book. So I'll have stuff on there at some point.
Don't gloss over that. Heather's kicking ass. She's sending me page counts and shit. She's like, she is killing. So I'm really looking forward to it. And you guys should, anticipate that.
Yes. It's a little different from stuff I usually do, but it's pretty fucking...
Do we get to know the theme of the book or the subject?
Or is
this, we got to wait. Yeah, I was going to say.
let's wait for now. But I'm about halfway through it. So a couple more
awesome.
Months and I have it concluded. So anyway, I've been working on that, so I haven't posted anything on the website. But Kai and I are also going to be doing some big things with the Milkcast soon, so you can look out for that. And I apologize beforehand, but I can't remember my bloody password to our Instagram page, and it's like 5 years old, and it goes to an email that I can't even get into anymore because I started it in 1999 on Yahoo. So I'm just going to have to start a new password, which, by the way, if anyone can think of versions, just email them to me, because it's something like Heather and Kai Rock or Kai and Heather.
Did you try the one I sent you?
Yes, I did. I tried variations of it. I have spent a lot of time trying to get in there because it's really simple, but I probably did it while I was drinking.
Kai, your Heather down.
Dude, seriously. Okay. And then did we go through all the plugs, or did we just bitch about the Instagram? I can't remember.
That's pretty much it. Oh, but yeah, so I'll be starting a new Instagram page for us, and I'll get our Facebook rolling soon. So if you don't like us on there yet, you should, because it's still awesome.
Well, and I have a huge plug, so I'm probably going to bring this up in the next show at the front of the show, because there's some people that just fast forward this part, and I don't blame you. But the reason we missed a couple posting for a couple months is I got hired to do an album for a rapper named Rhyme Time, who has actually been a guest on the show. We actually met through our love of film. He's someone I've been a fan of for a long time, and he hired me to do his album, and I pushed it and not only did the art for his album, but his back cover and for the face of his CD. And it just got revealed and went for pre-sale this week, and is I can finally talk about it, and it's finally out. So if you guys want to go pre-order the album, or if you want to buy a shirt or sticker or print of my art of the cover, you can go to rhymetimerapper.bandcamp.com/album/season-4. The album's called Season 4. I'm really proud of it. It was interesting because I spent literally every moment that I wasn't working on my day job – nights, weekends, nonstop working on this thing for 2 months. And the fact that's the reason the Halloween episode didn't go up till after Christmas, because I couldn't even get to that. But one of the beautiful parts about that, Heather was simultaneously busting out her writing, and she would send me pictures of her word counts and her chapters, and I'd send her pictures of what I was doing on mine. And it was like another way that we she was a nice encouragement through it all. Too.
Yeah, it was really nice. I was excited
so cool.
for you too, and I was glad that we could support each other that way. It was great.
This is my first album. I'm really excited about it. It turned out the response has been fantastic. So.
It's really badass. It's so awesome, and there are so many little details and neat things in there. It's just really great.
Move over, yeah, Drew Struzan.
I hit a bunch of references within the art to Scott's other albums and songs, so it's kind of cool. But and the premise was he wanted to be jumping a shark like Fonz, so I did that, but I took all his shirt clothes off, put him in a Speedo, and gave him a farmer town. So anyway, You can check out more of my art, KyBParker.com. At some point this week, I'm actually going to put up a post that's going to talk about all the references that are hidden in there, and a link to buy it will be in the show post and on my website. You can find me at The Amazing Kiderman on Instagram. That is my art account. Please follow me and access my store and go buy some of my shit, man, because, you know, I want to buy stuff too. I like stuff. I can't keep up with Funko. You guys got to help me. That's about it. I could do this all day, but there's a beer to be drank, movies you've seen, trivia to do, so I'm going to go do that. We'll see you guys next time. Here.
So tonight I'm going to be a tree, and I'm going to do it with Richard Scary Monster Face. What do you think about that?
Whatever, Tumor Craig.
Oh, man. That's great. I don't get hotkeys, though. Fuck that shit. Every time they mention it, I ignore it. I'm like, I won't acknowledge this. I hate Dill Dog anyway. Yeah, guys, if you're listening, I fucking hate Dill Dog. It's terrible.
This is all going on at the end of the show.
Oh, man. Oh.
Don't know where that voice came from.